I'm Steve. I'm our senior pastor at Reservoir. It is great to see you today. Merry Christmas for the third or fourth or tenth time, however many you've heard it. one of you this morning on the way in as we were saying hi said, I came early because it's Christmas Day. I figured I better be early to make sure I get a seat. And I said, oh, Christmas doesn't really work that way around here. We sort of quiet down as a younger demographic church around a holiday like Christmas. Mostly folks travel. We've been enjoying a season we call Light in the Darkness here every year. This past month has been rich for us, and we're winding that season down today on Christmas with a single service. Next week, for those of you that are regulars here or in town, we also, for the holiday, will only have one service at 10:30 on New Year's Day. Like today, it'll be a little shorter, simpler service. And then our regular calendar and services will kick up again in 2 weeks on January 8th, when we're back at 9:30 with all our kids programming and 11:30 as well. But it is great to spend this time together with you today. It's a fun experience for me because, you know, I'm pretty sure I have never been, my parents are actually here today somewhere, so they can fact check this later. They can fact check everything I say, actually. Maybe live stream, mom and dad, if you want to just, my dad would do this, just raise your hand, whatever, there's a fib, just boom. So, but I'm pretty sure I've never been, or rarely at least, been in a church on Christmas morning. I spent the other 43 Christmas mornings of my life in my parents' house opening Christmas presents when I was a kid, watching the next generation of kids in the family doing that now, and eating Christmas brunch around a big dining room table. I don't remember all 43 Christmas mornings distinctly, of course, but together they're a pretty fabulous set of mornings. You can hit up that next slide. My mom, they look something like this. My mom makes these delicious, buttery cinnamon roll things that melt in your mouth while you're picking up your coffee cup, and there's eggs and fruit and breakfast meat and all kinds of other stuff. When we were little, the breakfast usually came after the presents. My brothers and I would usually sleep over our grandparents' house the night before, and we'd drive back home early, and we'd rush our little sleep-deprived bodies into the house, see this huge mound of presents under our tree. Our family was sometimes a little short on cash when I was little, but my grandparents spoiled us wildly, as grandparents can do wonderfully, and maybe living in denial about our financial state once a year, my parents would keep pace as well, and so there'd be a stocking full of candy and toys and random stuff like socks and toothbrushes and things like that, and then there'd be big presents too, all kinds of stuff under and all around our tree. As a grown-up, my parents have appropriately shrunk these gifts down a little bit, but they're parents of 9 grandchildren now, and so they've taken up the holiday with the next generation with gusto. These have been pretty fun mornings in our life, full of generosity and full of excitement. But every year, sometime between Christmas afternoon and New Year's Day, it would start to wear off. You can hit the next slide. As kids, it would happen a little later in the week. It would take us a while to get to this point. But somewhere between Christmas and New Year's, before getting back to school, but after getting used to our presents, we'd kind of start to get a little bored, wondering what was next. It happens sooner for me now as a grown-up. Late in the afternoon today, I'll look around at a mound of wrapping paper and take my food coma self off the couch and think about how I've got to get everyone packed in the car and drive home. Christmas celebrations in my family, the food, the presents, all of that, they've always been awesome, but they felt more like the end of a season than a beginning. But the actual surprise and miracle of Christmas is the opposite. It's the birth of a child who's pushing a whole new way of life into the world, who's connecting God with humanity at a whole new level, who's inaugurating a kingdom and a family for all people. Christmas is really the start of so many new beginnings. So my goal today was to offer us a little bit of encouragement, to keep it a little shorter than normal so we can get on our way and enjoy the day. Also to share some things along these lines. And in the spirit, I want to share a few thoughts on how this year's Christmas can help you be ready for the day after Christmas. how this year's Christmas can help you be ready for a Christmas of new beginnings, a time of joy and expectancy and of coming alive as you want to be and as your world needs us to be. But first, let's pray for a minute. Jesus, we welcome you to be here in this space among us on this Christmas morning. We welcome you to help us to understand, or at least glimpse a little, and to experience the new beginning of you with us, of you with us still, of you shaping our Christmas and our day after Christmas for good this year. I pray that you would speak to us and encourage us today. Amen. Some of us at Reservoir read the Bible using this Reading the Bible feature on our Reservoir app and on our church website. I'm part of this 90 days of Bible reading plan where people are doing that. It's a way of reading different sections of the Bible each day, reading through pretty much the whole Bible in a couple of years, some parts of it several times. And mostly the program marches you through different books of the Bible in order as they come. But around Christmas, in keeping with really old church traditions, the readings skip around a fair amount, and they're kind of carefully curated to have passages that have been important to this season for centuries. And there's always a lot from this long book of prophecy called Isaiah. Isaiah, as much as any book of the Bible, was where the human Jesus discovered his identity and his life mission. And Isaiah is very much about the history of a particular people, about the history of the nation of Israel several centuries before Jesus, including their great hopes for their future. But it seems that Jesus found that it was speaking about his own destiny, if even in a coded way, and about how Jesus would be at the center of accomplishing God's hopes for this nation and for the whole earth. So anyway, this poetry from Isaiah has been adopted into our Christmas celebrations, and I'm going to share with you parts of two passages I read in our little Bible reading plan this week. The first from Isaiah 9. You get that next slide. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. It's just the best, huh? We all get excited about new babies in a family, but this one is inheriting a throne and super power might. And unlike pretty much any other person who's ever inherited a throne or had access to great power, we hear this king is going to use this power to counsel others wonderfully and to shed light and to bring peace. It's this extraordinary hope that Isaiah is speaking about. My spiritual director, he's kind of like a professional friend and prayer partner and mentor and therapist to me. He prays this phrase in verse 6 for me a lot, that God would be my wonderful counselor and mighty God and everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. It's a good prayer, isn't it? It's like a lot of what humans long for spiritually, for counsel and for power and for care and for family and for leadership and for peace, all bound up there. And apparently Jesus is bringing all those things, pushing all that into our personal lives if we want it, and through his role as the world's ultimate king, pushing those things into human societies and history to the degree we'll have it as well. Isaiah picks up a similar theme a couple chapters later. You can hit the next slide for this too. We read, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and bear shall graze. The young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. And there's a sweeping vision here. Jesus is known as Jesse is known as the father of David, the great king of Israel, whose line and story Jesus' followers say he inherits. And again, we're looking at this remarkable person here who's out to accomplish truly astounding things. But it starts as just a shoot. The kingdom looks dead, just a stump. And then out of that only mostly dead stump comes this delicate shoot, this tiny, vulnerable thing like a baby. Last night when we read the Christmas story told in Luke's account, the word that jumped out at me again and again was surprise. Too old to have a baby? Your life's hopes are dashed? Surprise, you're pregnant. Too young, too virginal to have a baby? Surprise, you're pregnant too. Your backwater peasant teenage self is going to give birth to the Savior of the world. It's so surprising, this shoot born out of a stump that's to grow up and be so close to God and so good and so fair and to set all things right. This vision of all that Jesus is going to accomplish climaxes with this gorgeous poetry of the peaceable kingdom. Wolves and lambs and leopards and goats just chilling out peacefully, no hurt, no destruction, because everyone knows God. And God's ways of peace are spread out through all of creation. And that child of peace, that shoot out of the stump, that wonderful counselor and prince of peace is leading them all. Such a beautiful vision. It inspired this painting by Edward Hicks. Edward Hicks, the early 19th century Quaker pastor living in Pennsylvania. You've got all the animals there on the right, the natural enemies at peace together. The lion still looks a little bit angry to me, but he's eating his straw next to his neighbor now, the ox, instead of eating the ox. The natural predators there by their former prey. The babies there rolling around on the ground with the snakes. It's a hopeful vision of the future. Don't try that at home, kids. We're not there yet. It's pretty poignant, too. It's hard to see from your seats probably, but on the far left, we've got European colonists and Native Americans around a table together at peace. And Hicks was a Quaker pastor. If you know much about the Quakers, they're kind of pacifists. They're early abolitionists, activists for justice and peace. And Hicks wasn't rewriting history. He didn't think it happened that way, as many other people did. But he was hoping for a better day that Jesus was going to bring as Prince of Peace and as Mighty King. So ideal and so far from our experience. This Christmas, we've been hearing from folks who are trying to escape war-torn Syria. Our next president has been gleefully taking up a new arms race. And I don't really have the heart this morning to talk about just how far from the peaceable kingdom we are today, but I'm going to take that as a given, that that's something we're all pretty in touch with right now, that we're very far in our day from this peaceable kingdom. But the prophecies tell us that when Jesus was born, he started all this in motion. He's got the ball moving in this direction, that God entered human history as a child and began to be available to us all to lead us into all counsel, to lead us personally, collectively, into joy, into transformation, and into this incredible vision of peace. Jesus is for us, and God's asked us to be part of this kingdom, to follow Jesus in making it so. This past Christmas, a voice that's been powerful in this community has been a man named Howard Thurman. You can hit up that next slide of Howard Thurman. We've brought Howard Thurman back from the dead to celebrate Christmas with us this year. Thurman was the dean of chapel at Boston University when Martin Luther King Jr. was studying theology there, and he did lots of other interesting and wonderful, strange things in his life. He's kind of an infamous character in some circles. He's worth you learning about if you Google up Howard Thurman. Fascinating guy. I have some stories I think I will not share now. Google Howard Thurman. He's got awesome stories. Right, Barbara? Barbara's a BU alum. All right. This month, our pastor Ivy and I, we realized we were both reading Howard Thurman's famous book, Jesus and the Disinherited, at the same time without having talked about it. There was an impulse in us, in this political climate, to pay attention to the voices of the disinherited, whether they were disenfranchised folks who voted our next president into office or other disenfranchised folks who are worried about what this presidency will hold. And so we were reading this book together. And the start of a little Howard Thurman poem made it into our Sunday of lamentation and hope in early December that we had to kick off our celebration this year. And we filled this room with little sticky notes all along the room representing our lamentations, our angers, our disappointments, our sadnesses that we want to hold and share with others and lift up to God and ask Him to do something about it. And our hopes too, our yearnings, our longings, both in our private lives and in the public sphere, that we also want God to hear and do something about. Those have come off the walls and they're in a prayer space for people to pray for throughout the year and see what God will do in these. But later that week, after that celebration of pain and hope that we had at church, the community group that Grace and I host in our living room read this full poem by Howard Thurman and had a little Christmas discussion inspired by this poem that's very much in line with these visions from Isaiah. And so I want to read this poem and say a few things about the chat we had in our living room before I close us out today. Here's this poem, I Will Light Candles This Christmas, by Howard Thurman. I will light candles this Christmas. I will light candles this Christmas, candles of joy despite all sadness, candles of hope where despair keeps watch, candles of courage for fears ever present, candles of peace for tempest-tossed days, candles of grace to ease heavy burdens, candles of love to inspire all my living, candles that will burn all year long. The second half. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among others, to make music in the heart. Great poem. I'll light candles this Christmas. Our group talked about this poem all night the other week. We talked about the truth of our world that first stanza affirms. All the sadness we feel and many of our friends feel, all the fears that are ever present in us and around us, the heavy, heavy burdens that we ourselves carry and that pretty much every person and every group and nation state we know carries. We also talked that evening about our shared desire for Jesus to bring hope and joy and courage and peace into all of us and to all these people in places, because Jesus is here, after all, as Isaiah tells us, to do all this for us and for the world. And it seems Christmas is just for this. But then we talked about the second stanza, too, and how Christmas is really just the start of all that Jesus went about doing, as Isaiah would predict, all that lost finding and broken healing and releasing and rebuilding. We talked about all that work to do that we can see and how having Jesus' peace and joy and hope and love and courage will help us do that Christmas work. I actually don't know, obviously, what's in front of all of you today and tomorrow and this week and next year. But my hope today is that you can receive this gift of Christmas and that you can be empowered to do what Howard Thurman calls the work of Christmas as well. That you can be refreshed by Jesus in this season. That you can find joy in your sadness. That you can find hope powerful hope where only despair has been keeping watch. That you can find courage in your fears and grace in your burdens for a while this week. Perhaps you can find these things for a bit, through a bit of rest, perhaps from meditating on how God loves us all so much that God has joined us in the flesh and will never leave us again. There's this old idea of Christmas being a 12-day event, December 25th through January 5th. Perhaps you've heard the five golden rings and the four calling birds and all that, the 12 days of Christmas. That song didn't make it up. That's sort of like an old idea. But it doesn't need to be a boatloads of impractical presents, ladies dancing, all that for nearly 2 weeks. It can be a kind of winter's nap to connect with Jesus again. And then to go do the work of joining Jesus in forwarding the peaceable kingdom. Perhaps lighting a candle each day this season, reminding you that God is with you in hope and peace and joy and love. Perhaps reading the Bible together in the season for the next 12 days. Our little Reading the Bible program on reservoirchurch.org kind of bounces around, but it's pretty focused in the 12 days in the season on knowing God with us, particularly through the lens of Jesus. How can we know and experience God with us? I'd like to close out with just like three brief thoughts on knowing God with us in this Christmas and what that propels us for in the season to come. There's some notes in your program. I think they're already filled in. We have these like fill in the blanks sometime. We want to make it easy for you. No work on Christmas. I don't know if that worked out, but three thoughts for you to send us out. My first invitation to you on this Christmas day and this Christmas season is to regularly welcome Jesus for wisdom, counsel, and connection to God. These things that the prophet says Jesus will be so good at having all wisdom, of having a spirit of wisdom, of sharing wisdom with others, having this spirit of counsel, like literally, like dial it down, to be able to give you great advice and to be hyper-connected to God and have the capacity to connect others to God as well. I invite you in these 12 days of Christmas to each day, however long or short you'd like to each day, to welcome Jesus to do that for you. Light a candle or sit by your coffee or whatever you do at some point and ask Jesus for whatever wisdom you need. Ask Jesus for whatever advice you need. Ask Jesus for help in experiencing connection and closeness to God. My second invitation to you, be very poetic, is to leap like a calf for every bit of healing. Try leaping like a calf. I don't know what that feels like, how calves leap. But it's a line out of this last scripture in your program from another prophet that says, "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." It's my favorite obscure Christmas verse from the Bible. It's only a Christmas verse because a hymn writer decided to tuck it into Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which I think we'll sing later. This little line about Jesus risen with healing in his wings. This very magical image drawn from this line. Hark the Herald Angels Sing didn't pick up that invitation to leap like a calf, but you could hear it in there. It's there as well. Sometimes, obviously, we see a lot of healing. And again, I mean this personally and collectively. Sometimes those of us that hope to see Jesus on this earth see immense things happen in our lives, our friends, our family, in whole communities, nation states we're praying for, and sometimes we see very small things. We see just a little. But I think the invitation here is to celebrate what you see, to notice the presence and work of Jesus that you have invited into your story and others, and to leap like a calf over that, to enjoy it. I don't know if you caught that quotation that was on the slide with Howard Thurman's picture when I wanted to just, you know, introduce you to that man. But he says, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it, because the world needs more people who have come alive." It's kind of a less religious paraphrase of a Bible verse from the New Testament. 1 John says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." God's gift God wants to give you this Christmas, if I can be so presumptuous as to say what I think that is so that you could receive Jesus' presence with you and live through him. Not just in an abstract sense, like hope you will live after death. That's a good thing too. That's worth hoping for as well. But literally, like as Howard Thurman says, to come alive through Jesus. to have an abundance of joy and peace and courage and hope in places and times where you have no business having those things. That's the Christmas gift, the transformational gift that Jesus wants to give to you and through each of us, through to whole communities and societies that we're part of as salt and light, Jesus says, in those places to bring the kingdom of Jesus into being around us. Howard Thurman says, one part of the Christmas work is to make music in our hearts, as if that's like work we have to do as part of bringing this peaceable kingdom into being. And so make music in your hearts. Notice little bits of healing that you've seen Jesus do and leap like a calf over those. And lastly, do all the Christmas work that is in your power every day. Finding the lost, healing the broken, feeding the hungry, releasing the prisoner, rebuilding the nations, bringing peace among others, making music in the heart. I'm either wise or naive enough to believe that each of us every day has that work to do, that each of us every day has the opportunity to be full-hearted people who with Jesus get to heal the broken, make music in our hearts, bring peace among others, be part of the rebuilding of nations. But friends, this is hard work, and it's not work that we're well equipped to do without spiritual power and presence. And so as you get ready for the work of Christmas in the year to come, all these beautiful and powerful and important things that Jesus, God himself, and Howard Thurman would commission us to do, my invitation is that these 12 days of Christmas, you go to a quiet space and go to Jesus and find all the hope and the joy and the peace and the courage that you'll need in the year to come. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I'm so grateful that you haven't left us orphaned in this world, that none of us need to ever be unseen, unheard, or alone. None of us. I'm grateful that you love this earth and you love the human story in particular so much that you've not just set it in motion from afar, but you've joined right in, that you too have become a human in Jesus. I love you that you've not left us alone, that you've stayed with us. The risen Jesus is with us still by the power of your Spirit. I pray, Jesus, that on this day and in these days to come, that for each person in the room, you know our needs, you know where we're lacking joy and hope and peace and courage and music in our hearts. Jesus, could you tune our instruments again? Jesus, could you visit with us in these days? Visit with us in these 12 days and stir hope and courage and love and peace, even in places and in ways that don't make sense to us and have no business being there. We pray, Jesus, that you do things in each person in this room, that you do things in this nation and city and right here in Reservoir Church. They would bring your great power for peace into being around us in the year to come. We look to you on this Christmas day with great hope. Thank you, Jesus, our light in the darkness. Shine with us, we pray. Amen.